Today on Jay Sekulow Live, the American Center for Law and Justice launched a school choice initiative, and the Supreme Court in a major victory for school choice and religious liberty.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow, and on this Monday, we want to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We are very excited to announce a new ACLJ initiative, a new ACLJ program. It's one we've worked on for years, decades at the ACLJ, which is school choice cases at the Supreme Court and in the courts. In fact, I'm holding a brief right now that we filed at a case that is pending before the U.S. Supreme Court right now on school choice. It's the Espinoza case. We should get a decision on that very soon from the Supreme Court. We filed in this case. So again, it's not something we are just brand new to. But in light of the recent events of the last few weeks and the need for police reform and Senator Scott's Justice Act that we've been supporting, we wanted to look at kind of this whole approach of what the ACLJ could do. You know, we could take the grassroots action on police reform, tell you what senators to call. We'll get you an update on that as well today on the broadcast. But we wanted to look at what the ACLJ could do as an initiative to really assist what we believe is most important and what people like Senator Scott also believe is so important. As he said to the Wall Street Journal, Senator Scott said, "In our society, we spend so much time on the root causes and the disadvantages that we forget to talk about the solutions and the advantage that we have over the rest of the world. Advancement, he believes, comes through education. It is absolutely essential that we have quality education in every zip code, especially the poorest zip codes in America. That is the path forward." So you don't just immediately address like the police reform problem, though you certainly address that, but you have to look at the bigger issues as well. Let me go to Than Bennett, Washington, D.C., because Than, this is an initiative from the ACLJ we're all very excited about because it's about these justice and equality issues that have been so debated and discussed that people have gotten excited about over and having these conversations over the past few weeks. But we wanted to say, hey, what could we do substantively at the ACLJ? And this is something we could do substantively.
Absolutely, Jordan. And, you know, one of the things you're going to hear from parents the most frequently, I know you can relate to this, I can relate to this, is a parent wants to provide a better opportunity for their child than maybe they had. And, Jordan, the opportunity to get an education that is better than they had would be at the top of that list. For so long, that just has not been the case for parents of children residing in low-income districts. And, look, we understand that many of these decisions are made on a local and state level, and probably appropriately so. But, Jordan, when you have a situation where the poorest among us cannot afford or do not have the opportunity to get the education as those who living in zip codes that are more affluent, that has got to change. There are ways the federal government can support it. Yes, most of those decisions will still reside on the state and local level, but Senator Scott is 100% correct. It should not matter which zip code a child is born in the United States of America. The parent should still have the opportunity to make sure that that child gets the education they deserve. Jordan, there are a lot of ways that we can accomplish that goal.
Folks, I want you to share this broadcast with your friends and family. So if you're watching on Facebook and Periscope right now, click that share button right now, especially Facebook. Click the share button now. Bring more people into this conversation. It's a brand new initiative. And there's a way you can take action right now. A brand new petition up at ACLJ.org, along with a new blog about advancing justice by expanding school choice. And we'll talk about when we come back from the break. But in the new petition, it's about underperforming public schools, especially in disadvantaged communities, are crushing kids' futures. At the ACLJ, we've launched our school choice initiative to ensure that every state in the country allows parents to choose the school they believe will provide their kids the best education, whether it's private, religious, charter, homeschool, or public school, regardless of their economic standing. And we're also going to be drafting model state legislation to ensure that every child has equality of opportunity in education. You can sign this brand new petition up at ACLJ.org right now. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. If you're just joining us, let me just say we are very excited to announce the brand new School Choice Initiative from the American Center for Law and Justice. You can find out information about it up at aclj.org. We'll also be talking about it on today's broadcast with both Harry Hutchinson, of course, Dan Bennett's here, Ed White, one of our senior attorneys as well. The initial blog announcing this was posted on aclj.org. by Harry Hutchinson. It's called Advancing Justice by Expanding School Choice. Harry is joining us now. You know, Harry, he is frequently on the broadcast, also kind of oversees our law and policy team as a senior attorney, former law professor as well. Harry, great to have you on the broadcast today.
Well, thanks, Jordan. It's my pleasure to be with you. And I would say, first off, that it is high time to make public school leaders and heads of teachers' unions uncomfortable by unleashing real justice in the form of school choice. While the world has become convulsed by focusing on removing monuments, let's build a monumental movement that delivers accountability, improved educational performance, improved safety for first and second graders through school choice. As I've said before, it is time for affirmative action for public school children rather than focusing on whether, for instance, Yale University, named after a famed slave trader, changes its name to something more politically correct. It is time to move beyond symbols and symbolic reform to advance school choice. And if not now, when? If not us, who?
Harry, you wrote the blog, having, and this is a great blog for people to go through so they can get educated about what we're talking about doing. And it goes back all the way to even, you know, cases. The Supreme Court, by the way, has cleared the way for this. And Zelman versus Simon Harris, it was out of Cleveland. And that case, again, it was about an initiative that Cleveland had and these scholarships provided by the city, 96% of which were used for children to attend religious schools. And the court found, they did this full review, Harry, of Cleveland's public school system, said it was among the worst performing schools in the nation, failed to meet any of the 18 state standards for minimal acceptable performance, and more than two-thirds of high school students either dropped or failed out before graduation. So it was Chief Justice Rehnquist at the time and the Supreme Court that held that this was a constitutional program. So at the federal level, at the Supreme Court level, there has been a kind of clearing the way, Harry, for states to adopt aggressive school choice policies.
I think you're absolutely correct, but it's also very, very important to keep in mind that progressive leaders, including leaders of teachers' unions, are aggressively pushing back in state after state, despite the success story of school choice throughout the United States. Today, there are 65 private school choice options operating in 29 states, including Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico. More than 482,000 students across the country are exercising private school choice, more than double the number of programs and students since the National School Choice Week initiative was first launched in 2011. So we've made some progress, but there are still many barriers, including progressive governors, progressive boards of education, and progressive leaders within teachers' unions who continually claim to support improving or reducing, I should say, racial disadvantage and disparity, but at the same time, they oppose school choice for other people's kids. Meanwhile, many of them send their kids to private schools. So we have to keep our foot on the accelerator with respect to this initiative, because it is clear beyond question that we will face headwinds, primarily coming from progressives. And keep in mind, it was progressives that gave us Planned Parenthood. It was progressives that gave us a lot of other initiatives, including labor policy, that provided a basis for disadvantaging minority and low-income individuals throughout the United States.
Folks, we're going to take your calls, your questions about this new initiative. If you have questions about school choice, because there's a lot of options. States do different things, whether it's voucher programs and charter schools and savings accounts and tax credits. I mean, the list really goes on. There's magnet schools. There's open enrollment, deductions that are available. What we're also going to be doing, Harry, which I think is important, because the goal of this, of our initiative, is to use this as a vehicle to attain justice for all of America's children, including the least among us. With the debates that have been raging across the country over the past few weeks, and the police reform, which we support through Senator Scott, and that reform of the Justice Act, which I'll get an update from Than Bennett on later in the broadcast, because we've asked you to contact, remember folks, 13 Democrats to get that over the edge for a vote. But even, Harry, Senator Scott said, you know, the key is really education, getting the poorest kids access to the best education, and middle-class kids as well, whose parents may not normally be able to afford a private school, whether it's a private school, religious private school, or a charter school, or just a different public school. And so we're going to take your phone calls on this, 1-800-684-3110. But Harry, the goal here is to really put forward information that states can use, whether it's draft legislation to start these programs, and also begin pointing out the barriers that have been put in place, as you noted, by the left in some states, which have completely tried to do away with school choice entirely, like the state of Michigan. But Harry, really the goal here is justice for all of America's children. And we believe this is the right time. We've been engaged in this issue for decades at the ACLJ, but this is the right time to start a grassroots legal movement around it.
Absolutely. So many people rightly ask the following question: is the stunning malfeasance of public schools in many cities, whether or not that constitutes a deliberate, intentional, and premeditated effort to sabotage the lives of poor and minority kids? In my view, after more than 70 years of educational malpractice by progressive leaders, we must answer this particular question with the following response. Res ipsa loquitur. That is, the thing speaks for itself. So if you look back the history of the United States from around 1950 to 1960 on, public school education, particularly in minority communities, has declined at an exponential rate. And it is why we are now pushing school choice, because we need to put pressure on public schools by providing competition, by making public school leaders more accountable to the individuals who live in every single zip code in America. And so I think that's why it's really important for our listeners to engage with us as we launch the ACLJ School Choice Initiative.
In the second half hour, we're going to be talking to Ed White about some of these barriers. One of them is the Blaine Amendments. This was a move to try and get constitutional amendment at the U.S. Constitution. It failed, but about 30-plus states have versions of it, and cities do too, and it prohibits direct government aid to educational institutions with religious affiliation. So this is one of the barriers to having the full planopy, if you will, of school choice available to these parents if a state is to enact, as we like a voucher program, so that they really do have the choice to send their students to the school they want to send them to. But Harry, the truth is, as you pointed out, it's less than the majority of states in the country don't really have these programs.
Absolutely. And these programs are not available to a majority of students, even in states that have these programs. So it's very, very imperative to expand access to these choice programs. And so if you actually look back at history, public schools used to be accountable to the communities they serve. So if you look back at the public school system in Washington, D.C. in 1899, there were four academic public high schools, one black and three white. In standardized test scores given in 1899, students in the black high schools averaged higher test scores than students in two of the three white schools. This pattern prevailed until 1955, but things have changed, and that's why we need school choice now.
Okay, folks, to get involved in the issue, this is what I encourage you to do right now. One, if you're watching on Facebook, share this broadcast with your friends and family. Get more people involved in this discussion so they know about the ACLJ launching today, this new school choice initiative. Two, sign the petition up at aclj.org demanding school choice, giving every child equality of opportunity and justice. That's at aclj.org. And three, check out Harry's new blog, kind of explaining our school choice initiative and what we plan to do, advancing justice by expanding school choice, all up at aclj.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
And welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. So with the ACLJ launching our brand new school choice initiative, it's up at aclj.org. And we're talking to Harry Hutchinson right now. Than Bennett, of course, on the broadcast with us. Ed White will be joining us in the second half hour of the broadcast. Harry, I want to play Speaker Nancy Pelosi because I think this is important for everybody listening right now to share this information with your friends and family about this school choice initiative. Share the blog that Harry wrote at aclj.org. Share this broadcast right now. If you're watching on Facebook, click the share button. Because if you have friends and family, coworkers who have been interested in this kind of new discussion on equality in America and police reform and justice and equality and the debate that's happening, this is key to it. And even Nancy Pelosi has admitted how bad many of these schools are and how rough they are. Take a listen. This is Nancy Pelosi this year in a press conference, bite number 5.
So we talk to those children and we say education is important. We send them a mixed message when we send a message that education is important, and then we send them to a school that is dilapidated, that is not wired for the future. If this is so important, why aren't you respecting me, a student, by having facilities that are worthy of it?
Now, I want to go right to Harry Hutchinson because, Harry, what I'm sure Nancy Pelosi would not agree with our positions on this because she would want just more money to prop up these public schools. But as you point out in your new blog on this, Advancing Justice by Expanding School Choice, over the past 50 years, funding increases have culminated in the U.S. leading the world in per capita education expenditures. And yet Nancy Pelosi still talks about the dilapidated public schools in America.
Absolutely. So one of the clear things to keep in mind is that when we talk about increasing funding for public education in America, generally that means increasing funding for administrative staff and administrators rather than delivering funding and increased performance in the classroom. All Americans have a stake in improving education in the United States, and to be clear, this festering wound caused by underperforming schools endures despite, as you point out, Jordan, significant funding increases for public education throughout the nation. But it's important to keep in mind that notwithstanding the fact that per capita expenditures on education in the United States exceed every single country in the world, our performance lags in part because there's a negative correlation between increasing public school funding and actual performance because we are not focused on students. So little has changed in the neighborhoods at the center of the disruptions that have characterized most major urban areas over the last several months. But keep in mind, this represents the abysmal record under largely progressive educational leadership, but something needs to change, and it needs to change now so that we can improve student safety, improve parental satisfaction and involvement, and see improvements in graduation rates, make public schools more accountable through competition, and save taxpayers' dollars at the end of the day.
Folks, again, if you have questions about this, comments about this, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Eileen calling in from New Jersey on line 3. Eileen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
I'm a public school teacher, and I think that absent the discussion very often is the erosion of the family. Yeah. And, you know, we talk about education as in the shape of a triangle, and you need all three parts for it to work. You need the parents, the student, and the teacher to be on the same page and working in conjunction with one another. But it is the erosion of the family. I mean, after this virtual stuff that I've just been through, it's amazing. I ended up working one-on-one with several of the students because they didn't have the support at home to do it. I was on the computer for hours, and right now, and just was on my heart to do it, I'm tutoring a student free of charge. I'm having a book club with other students during the summer months. So I think it is the erosion of the family and the lack of parental support, a disdain for authority, a turning away from faith and mass, all of this. So when you talk about failing schools, please don't just say that it's the teachers and the administrators. Please. Yeah.
No, and I think when we say teachers, I think specific, Harry and Eileen, I really appreciate your call and your insight. I think, one, you're an example of one of those great teachers out there who is, and I'm not saying there's not a lot of great public school teachers who are trying their best, doing everything they can possible with this difficult time, like trying to do the online classes with students who didn't even have the technological resources to do it, and then don't have the parental support. But Harry, really what's important to this is that when we talk about teachers, we're talking about teachers' unions trying to prevent this specifically.
Absolutely. So I think the caller is precisely correct in her analysis, and that family, for instance, is an important factor in education. And certainly that was true in terms of my history and my success with respect to education. But it's also important to keep in mind that school choice tends to increase parental satisfaction and involvement.
Yep.
Most parents who exercise school choice report that they are highly satisfied with their child's chosen school. For instance, in Arizona, more than 70% of respondents with children who used the state's educational savings account option were very satisfied. The same thing is generally true for parents in the DC Opportunity Scholarship Program. The parents reported being more satisfied and more involved with their children's education. So I think the caller is certainly onto something that Daniel Patrick Moynihan pointed out in 1965, but it's also important again to lay blame at progressive leaders for at least part of the problem associated with the disintegration of the American family. This has been part and parcel, I think, of a deliberate program initiated by progressive leaders going back to the 1960s that has seen the disintegration of the family. So the disintegration of the family, the disintegration of performance with respect to public schools in America are definitely linked. But right now, we can do something at least about improving educational performance through school choice. That's the initiative we're focused on now. We certainly do not want to do anything that furthers the disintegration of the family.
And Thad, I mean, you point out, too, that the idea that when you take away any choice from parents, that basically your kids are, you know, for most parents out there who can't afford private schools, the only option is public schools, they're also much more disinterested. They think that the school then should just handle all of it, and handle everything.
Yeah, I love Eileen's call, Jordan, because, look, for so long the government has told parents you have no role in your students, your child's education. And so parents have taken the message by stepping back. Eileen is absolutely correct that parents need to step back forward. But, Jordan, public policy has a role in that. Public policy needs to return some of that authority to the parents so that they actually have a choice to make when they decide to engage for their child's education.
1-800-684-3110, second half hour coming up. And I want to hear from more families. I know we've got one on the line now, but for more families who have been able to utilize school choice programs to their benefit of their children and even of their family. So give us a call if you've been able to utilize school choice programs. 1-800-684-3110. Sign that petition online, aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Folks, we are talking about the ACLJ's new school choice initiative. You know, we've been involved with school choice voucher programs and these discussions about should religious schools be able to receive the funding, should parents be able to choose those schools. And a big victory out of the Supreme Court, 5-4, with Chief Justice John Roberts writing the majority opinion for the court in what you'd say maybe the right way. And yeah, we talked about that yesterday. This is a school choice case, the Espinoza case. It's one we talked about on the air when we launched our school choice initiative. It just, you know, for folks out there said, well, why now? It's not something the ACLJ has obviously never been involved in. We've been involved with it for a very long time before it was something that was in fashion to even talk about. And when it was really just starting in the states across the country, and they've been working through these laws that date back on the books to the, you know, 1800s and about whether or not states can fund religious institutions at a time or any kind of religious groups, even if you have these voucher programs, yep, where it's really supposed to be up to the parents to make that decision. And I think now we're starting to see the erosion of that idea that you can somehow distinguish between a private school that's not affiliated with a religious group and one that is.
No, they're both
nonprofits.
That's correct. And we had a case a number of years ago for Josh Davies versus Locke, or Locke v. Davies. And there the court ruled that you cannot compel a government to pay for the seminary training of a student. What's interesting about this case is, first, it limits significantly the holding in Locke v. Davies. And in fact, it says this: we've repeatedly held that the Establishment Clause is not offended when religious observers and organizations benefit from neutral government programs. See Locke versus Davy, 540 U.S. at 719. So that's great. It limited that holding and then protected the religious institutions or people that want to choose a religious school among many options for school choice. So that it's a very positive decision by Justice John Roberts. Also, Justice Sam Alito wrote a concurring opinion on which he obviously agreed that the school should, the funds could be used for religious schools. And he cites a law review article that I wrote with a colleague, Jeremy Tedesco, who was my law clerk at the time, that was part of my, actually became, was part of my dissertation. And this was an adaption from my dissertation. For those watching on TV, we have it up on the screen. And in it, I wrote that I talked about the Philadelphia Bible riots and the anti-Catholic animus that led to what's called the Blaine Amendments, which were these anti-religious. They were aimed at Catholics, but it could have been really aimed at anybody. And Justice Alito cites my law review article, in two separate footnotes. First time that's happened. We've had our brief cited in cases. We filed a brief in the case as well. But I've never had the law review article that we wrote cited, and here it is. This is the law review article cited in a just Supreme Court decision. So we've been working on this issue, folks, for, as you can tell, the article itself is 15 years old. Okay, it was in 2005 is when it was published. We've been working on this issue for almost 30 years. 15 of it shows up in the Supreme Court decision, and I think you understand how important this issue is to us and what a significant day this is for the ACLJ and for the United States, for that matter.
It's probably since the very beginning of these programs even coming into existence, and I do think that there's, again, I think most people now understand, whereas it may have been, and we talked about this yesterday, Catholics leading the charge again with education in our country. If you've got questions about school choice, if you have had experience with school choice, maybe you're a teacher in a school where you've had a lot of students who have utilized school choice programs to attend, or you're a family that's utilized a school choice program in your state, or you're a family that wishes you did have it in your state, but you don't, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We encourage all of you listening to sign our brand new petition up at ACLJ.org demanding school choice and giving every child equal opportunity and justice. We need you to join us in this fight. And this is something we're going to work on substantively, legally, policy, draft legislation that we'll post on ACLJ.org, draft statutes. We're doing it all, but we want you to stand with us. Sign that petition now. Demand school choice for all of America's kids. ACLJ.org. Sign the petition now. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
So we've heard this broadcast from Nancy Pelosi about what message it sends to tell children and our America's children how important education it is, and then send them to crumbling schools, schools without heating, schools where the wires are exposed, schools that don't have the right technology, just crumbling schools. And then it sends a mixed message. Why it's education so important, yet you're sending me to these schools. Now, those same kind of leaders like Nancy Pelosi then oppose opening up programs so that those students could, parents could have the opportunity to choose different schools for their children. And it might be a different public school. It might be a charter school. It might be a religious private school. It might be a secular private school. There's so many different options available, but there is a significant effort to oppose these. It's why the majority of states in the United States still do not have school choice programs. And if you don't think this is going to be a key issue leading into this upcoming election, well, take a listen from President Trump on Saturday in Tulsa, Oklahoma, bite number one.
In major city public schools run by Democrats, over two-thirds of students are falling behind in reading and math, and I think the numbers are worse than that. But Democrats would rather deny these children the future they deserve than allow them to attend the charter, public, private, religious, or independent schools of their choice. Pro-choice. Pro-choice.
Yeah, different kind of pro-choice. Let me first go to the phones, then we'll go to Ed White, who's joining us, a senior counsel with the ACLJ, also working on this initiative. Janine, calling in from Arizona on line one. Janine, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jordan. And by the way, we donate to the ACLJ. Thank you so much for your work.
Thank you.
We have a son who's now an adult, and when we were going to our local public school, our son is on the autism spectrum. He's very high functioning.
Yep.
The public school looked at his grades and said, we'll put him in the gifted program. Then we talked about behavior issues he was having at the time. Oh, well, we'll put him in special ed. And I said, well, which is it? That's crazy. You want him in the gifted program, but then you want him in special ed. And the administrator finally said, your son is the sort of person who would probably fall between the cracks. We sent him to a charter school, and they focused on his ability. He ended up doing so well in school, he got a full scholarship to get an accounting degree in college. He did great because the school was smaller. They communicated frequently with the parents. And we actually sent our other son, who doesn't have special needs, to the same school, and he did great too.
Well, that's an excellent story. And Janine, that's why I asked people to call in who have had this experience, because now I'm going to go to Ed White. Ed, this is why the ACLJ is launching this initiative, because of Janine's story and her son, and both of her children, both of her sons, but her son who, again, a public school was going to push him along a different way. The parents recognized there were going to be issues with that. And so they utilized school choice and saw this excellent outcome. And that's why we believe it should be available to every American student, regardless of what zip code they live in.
Correct. And because ultimately it's the parent who should control the education of his or her child, not the state. And by giving parents, especially underprivileged parents, the opportunity to give their child the best education possible, that is a goal that every American should strive for.
You know, Ed, I want to talk to you about some of the barriers. We talked about this as we were launching this initiative and preparing it at the American Center for Law and Justice. And one of the barriers to some of these school choice programs is something called the Blaine Amendments. Now, we deal with this regularly at the ACLJ, and people may kind of have heard about this before, but explain to people what that is, what that does, because it affects 30-plus states and also a number of cities and municipalities as well.
Correct. So it's 37 states that have some form of a Blaine Amendment in their constitution. So Blaine, he was a congressman and then also a senator from Maine back in the 1870s. And after the Civil War, there were a lot of immigrants coming here, primarily Catholic immigrants, Irish immigrants. And he wanted to have a federal amendment to our constitution that no money or property could go towards religious schools. And the idea there was Protestants were controlling the public schools, and he did not want Catholics to have any influence over students. And so these amendments passed at the state levels. They did not pass nationally. So over the course of time, you've had these amendments, and they block voucher programs. So in my state of Michigan, we have the most restrictive Blaine Amendment, where money cannot directly or indirectly go towards any religious school. So we do not have voucher programs. We can't. However, to get around that, the state of Michigan, as other states have, started charter school programs in the public school as a way to give a quality public school education to students. And those are educations where there's discipline. So the most famous one is the Cornerstone schools in Detroit. If a person walked into those schools, you would think you were in a Catholic school. Yeah. Everyone wears uniforms. There's discipline. The kids lead to read, write, et cetera. And they go off to have good jobs, go off to college. Or homeschooling became very big in the state of Michigan, where it is very organized. There are sports leagues for homeschool kids. And because they do not want to go to the public school, because you're not going to get an education. So earlier you had the quote from Nancy Pelosi, and money is not the answer. If you just look at the public schools in the city of Detroit, per student, the state of Michigan pays roughly $15,000 per student to go to the public schools, which I'm pretty sure is more than going to the University of Michigan, which is arguably one of the best schools in the world. And there in Detroit, they have like the lowest reading level among any city in the country.
Yeah, I mean,
that is not the answer.
Well, we have a call about this, Ed, actually, and it's Sue. I think we can help her walk through this. Sue called in from Oklahoma on line 4. Sue, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thanks for all you do. I have an educator that is probably one of the best, greatest heart. And I think the separation sometimes between educators being conservative and Democrat is because of this issue. How do you justify, or how do you explain that if everyone's given vouchers and lots of parents pull out of the inner city schools, then how does that not ravage the inner city schools? And because in our city, for example, kids don't have transportation options. And so there again, you're setting up only those who can help themselves to get transportation to other schools. And we have that even with some charter schools that are available. They're really available supposedly to those schools or to those students to choose, but they have no choice because they have no way to get there. And that's the one argument that I find hard to explain to an educator who wants to see every child succeed, but feels like we will further ravage that happening if all of a sudden, you know, the monies go to other schools.
Well, and I think the one way, and Sue, and I appreciate that. It's always an argument you see in opposition. I think one is, as Ed was talking about, you know, you look at city-specific examples like Detroit and specific charter schools that were set up so that those students could attend, so that it was easy to attend. But it's why we're supporting the expansion of school choice. And we believe that these public schools, Ed, get plenty of money. They spend plenty of resources. They don't need any more money. They need to up their game to compete with the other schools. This should be a level playing field. We pay for with our taxpayer dollars. And if they can't compete and a charter school can come in or a private school can come in with vouchers and students have access to it in those communities, and it makes it tougher on the public school, then so be it if the public school won't up its game and help. Because there's no excuse for a public school that's already failing to keep failing and say, oh, let's just let them keep failing, Ed, because if we allow voucher programs, they'll just be worse. That means they shouldn't be running it in the first place.
Correct. And so the purpose behind this school choice is it's an American value, I think, of competition. And public schools would have to step up their game to start educating students. If a charter school can do it, if a private school can do it, a public school should be able to do it. And public schools have not always been bad. My parents grew up in the beginning part of the last century and went through public schools in New York City and got very good educations. When my father graduated high school, he was able to read and write Latin from a New York City public school education.
Yep. No, I mean, my dad went through public schools in New York and Chicago, Atlanta. My mom did as well. She was a public school teacher. And again, it was a different time. But, you know, as Harry points out in the blog and for our caller, and this is up at ACLJ.org, great society programs have been in place for 55 years. But after trillions of dollars in aid, including federal aid to public schools, little has changed in the neighborhoods at the center of the disruptions that characterized most major urban areas. So, Ed, we believe that this initiative, which we're just now launching at the ACLJ, it's a way to get justice and equality, and as you said, real competition. But the goal is for equality of education for all of America's kids.
Correct.
Folks, we encourage you, go to ACLJ.org. We've got a great team, as you heard from Harry Hutchinson, Thad Bennett on the policy side. We're taking your phone calls. We come back, 1-800-684-3110. Sign the petition. Join this fight for education and for school choice. ACLJ.org. Sign the petition today. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. A lot of calls coming in now, so we'll get to those in just a minute.
Logan wants to talk about his program.
And yeah, I need to get my plugs in. We talk about school choice.
You're actually showing this on your program.
Yeah, we're going to play this segment on the Logan Sekulow Reprogram, my radio show and podcast. Here's the main thing. Also, we have launched a video only. The set may look very familiar, and it's available on youtube.com/Logan Sekulow Reprogram, or just type in Logan Sekulow and you should subscribe to my page. We don't really talk about that. We don't promote YouTube a lot, but I'm on there each and every day putting up new video content. You can watch our show. It has some similar topics we talk about here. We do dive into politics a little bit, and then it's a little bit more outlandish and it's a little bit more crazy. So that show is actually typically a morning show, but next week the Logan Sekulow Reprogram moves to evenings. And we're going to be dropping new episodes for your evening drive.
So you don't have to do it at 5 in the morning?
So don't do it at 5 in the morning anymore, because we are available on the radio in Orlando and also on Long Island, on Long Island News Radio.
Both places we have connections
to. I know,
to.
I like it. But mainly we're focusing on, if you listen on a podcast, you can find it on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. But I'm really trying to grow our YouTube channel, because YouTube is where people are at, especially younger people. I think YouTube is really important for you guys to check out what we're doing over there. I put all my shows up there.
So where would you go on YouTube? Where would you go?
You either just type in Logan Sekulow in the search bar. You'll see there's a channel that's just called Logan Sekulow. Click subscribe. Or just go directly to youtube.com/Logan Sekulow Reprogram. We did a whole episode on school choice about 3 days ago, and it's up right now, 4 days ago. And also had Michael Sweet from Striper on, which that was a segment from here. And then today we dove into the show. It was about the Washington Post article that was a little maybe misleading. We did a little fake news day Tuesdays on the Logan Sekulow Reprogram. So you can find that again. There, you can also go directly to LoganSekulowReprogram.com.
So I see the podcast is up in it, and I do see it. I see the...
It's a good time. We have a really good time. It's a fun listen, and I hope you enjoy it. But we did dive pretty deep into the school choice initiative, because something I'm very passionate about.
You get good guests.
And we do have good guests on. We have guests from all over either the political world or the entertainment world. It's a lot of fun. We've had Rich. We've had on the heads of Gatorland, all things in between, you know. So it's a lot of fun. But we do dive usually about once or twice a week. We go into what's going on in the world of the ACLJ, especially when it's something like this that should be universally accepted. You know, I see a lot of my friends who are really into the whole movement that's happening right now. And I appreciate them and I support most of what they do. Not necessarily the organizations behind it, but the fact that they're wanting to see change. See, a lot of the people in the church are really excited to see, hopefully, you know, to help racial tensions and what's going on. You know, a couple of days ago, we saw Mississippi. They decided we're going to remove the Confederate flag from there. That's great, however you feel about that. But here's the deal. Here's something, and when I see people sharing that, but I don't see people sharing stuff like what we're doing with the School Choice Initiative, it feels like, you know, fake work. It feels like you're like, yay, we took down a flag. Great. I got no problem with that. But what I do have a problem is when you actually won't do the work to help kids.
Because that's not going to affect a kid academically. It affects emotionally.
It's mentally, emotionally. But this is actually something you can do right now. We could go in there and stop what's happening and start going to the root of some of these issues. And that is in some of these low and you know, even some of the middle class underperforming schools. I mean, they really are underperforming schools, and give people the option. Because if you give people the option, then what's going to happen is, because some people have said, you know, maybe could that hurt the public school system at that point? No, what I think at that point will happen is that public school is going to have to start competing. You're going to have to start really reevaluating what tenure looks like. You're going to have to start really evaluating what all of these things are, which are holding kids back and are causing problems.
I mean, it's like this. I just said there's no way you can support charter schools, which has got, I think, actually more legal issues when you actually look at how they're set up. They can be for-profit. They can be these entities, and they get totally exempt from all of those union rules, but they're 100% funded by taxpayers, and yet you can't have, now sometimes they're run by nonprofits, sometimes there's more money put in by the community than just the taxes, obviously, to get them built and get them organized, but I mean, they get taxpayer funding 100%, they get treated like a public school without being treated like one. This is a situation where I think finally catching up with reality on the ground. Let's go to Marie in North Dakota online too. Marie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm just wondering, how do we ensure this victory for school choice is implemented in our state? Or how do we make sure that
so we... So you're doing right now, Marie, you're doing a feasibility study. So your state legislature has passed a House bill. So now the state Senate is now also looking at that as well. So they're looking at kind of how broad to go. In North Dakota, every state's different. So in North Dakota, there's 8 private schools. I mean, there's 8 because of this, where the population centers are and things like that. So in some cities, in some municipalities, you could have triple that in one zip code. Triple, maybe quadruple. Yeah, some of these places in like Washington, D.C. or New York, you could have 30, 40 plus in a zip code.
But these are state initiatives. So let's be clear on something here.
State.
There is nothing in the opinion that requires a state to do this. It's if the states elect to do it or the county elects to have these funds available, it makes it available to the people that qualify. And it gives those people, as Logan was saying, that qualify the ultimate freedom of choice to decide what they're going to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is so important, and it's being overlooked, and you are seeing it start to happen. Look, today was a huge, hopefully, what you had hoped is today's decision becomes a huge part of the news cycle, but truthfully, we know
it will not.
It's not going to be part of the narrative. And because it's not part of the cultural narrative in news media, 24-hour news media, that this is going to become a 30-second story on some of these things. Now, it's for our job, it's to now, especially as the media side of the ACLJ, to still blow the doors down and let people know that this is happening. It's right. For us to text our friends over at all the news outlets and saying, you need to be covering this. You need to be talking about this. This is a big deal. And like you said, if this is an issue and you're worried about civil rights, this is an issue that you really need to look at. Because it's something that I think a lot of people look at and go, I don't feel like I can do anything. Well, here's something you can do for the kids that are going to be the next generation, and that's very important.
Here's what Harry Hutchinson said, our director of policy. I think it was just last week on the broadcast. We've been working. This is, by the way, Logan and Jordan have been dealing with this on the air for the last 2 weeks. But let me tell you how long we've been working on this. Way before 2005, when this article was written, we've been working on this for 30 years. So we're happy with this decision. But here's what Professor Hutchinson said.
Notwithstanding the fact that per capita expenditures on education in the United States exceed every single country in the world, our performance lags in part because there's a negative correlation between increasing public school funding and actual performance because we are not focused on students.
That is the key, not student focused. And these putting the decision back in the hands of the parents will make it student focused.
Yeah, if you're not a good teacher, you won't even get past the first round at a private school. You're not even going to become a teacher if that's what you're trying to do.
Why don't we try to get? Oh, we just lost Amy.
Yeah, I mean they won't even hire you. They won't even consider you.
She was a public school teacher and she said she was in favor of it.
Yeah, I think fair people who did not become totally unionized and realize what was happening there. When I was looking up North Dakota. Okay, this is a small state that could, population-wise, it could handle doing any programs they want financially. And yet, it was teachers' unions and a Republican majority in the House and the state Senate there that decided no. Now, are people going to, in North Dakota, not vote for someone because of their vote on that? Maybe not. But if you actually read who was supporting this, you want, in a state like North Dakota, pro-abortion, Planned Parenthood-endorsing teachers' unions running your kid's school. Because the same women who work at Planned Parenthood run those teachers' unions. I will tell you that. Same people running that are the same interest groups on the ground. And a lot of times, they're the same lobbyists, actually. So that's why I mean, the people they hire, I bet in North Dakota, are the same people running your maybe one abortion clinic that still exists in Bismarck.
All right, Logan, your program.
Yeah, Logan Secular Reprogram. You can find also our Facebook page and Facebook group. Join it. It's a lot of fun. LoganSecularReprogram.com. Also, Logan Secular Reprogram on YouTube. Check out the School Choice Initiative.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.